Danielle, can you start us off by talking about the role that sand tiger sharks play in the ecology of the coastal Delaware Ocean?
Sand tiger sharks are really the largest shark species that we have that's really common to the Delaware Bay and our coastal waters. And so it's really playing that top predator role that helps regulate the food chain and our food web in the Delaware Bay and in our coastal waters. So it's really important for food web dynamics and just being that top predator.
Why are scientists like you closely monitoring the sand tiger sharks?
Well, like many other shark species in our ocean, we've documented the decline of the sand tiger shark population over the last few decades. And so their populations really aren't doing well. And we're interested in not only why are their populations declining, but we're just interested in trying to understand more about their populations so that we can try to better protect them and conserve their species in our area.
What might be behind their dwindling numbers?
There's been some indications that for this shark species, particularly incidental bycatch in other fisheries, longline fisheries that aren't necessarily targeting sand tigers, but maybe targeting other shark species or other large fish species. So the sharks are caught as bycatch in those fisheries, and then they may suffer mortality when that happens. They're also a shark species that's targeted by recreational fishermen, and while that's usually a catch-and-release situation, just the act of catching the sharks and hooking them may provide an additional stress onto these individuals or may induce a mortality that may happen after the shark is released.
Right, and tell me about the technology that you use to monitor these sharks.
We have been putting acoustic transmitters in sand tigers for the last few years in our area, and we were interested in studying where they were, what areas of the Delaware Bay and the coastal ocean that they were using, and we have stationary receivers that are out monitoring for these sharks. But we were also interested in where the sharks were going in areas that were outside of these stationary receivers. And in addition, we were interested in measuring the environmental variables underwater that were related to where the sharks were. And so to do this, we then developed a robot, an autonomous underwater vehicle that was able to measure the underwater environmental variables in addition to measuring the observations of the tagged sand tigers. So we were getting where the sharks were and then what was the environment like in those areas, all from the same robot.
How unique is this particular method compared to others that marine biologists are using to track sharks?
Using acoustic telemetry is pretty common. We're working really closely with Delaware State University. That's actually who started this acoustic telemetry project with the sand tigers. There are other universities and institutions that are using acoustic telemetry to look at shark species. And one of the reasons why it's becoming more popular is because acoustic telemetry, the tags last a long time. They can last up to 7 years, so you can follow individuals for a decent amount of their lifespan. In addition, it's low maintenance, so you put out the tags in the animals and then you put out the receivers out in the water, and you only have to check on the receivers every month or so, and so you don't have to go out there and manually track them all of the time. And also for a species like the sand tiger shark that doesn't come up to the surface that often, you can't use something like a GPS tag on a sand tiger. They don't work very well because the antenna of a GPS tag needs to be out of the water. So something like acoustic telemetry, which works really well underwater, is much more useful for studying species like that.
And how difficult is it to tag a sand tiger shark?
They are pretty, lazy. So some sharks, it's probably more difficult than sand tigers. It's probably most difficult to catch a shark. You have to be able to get them on a hook. And then once you get them to the side of the boat, we work with people who are pretty knowledgeable about safe practicing. And we leave the sharks in the water the whole time. And when we flip them over to do the surgery in the water, and they go into a state called tonic immobility, which is a sleep light state that some sharks go into, and so that makes them a little bit more easier to handle, I guess. So,
and tell me what the technology has revealed about the sand tiger shark so far.
So using the autonomous underwater vehicle and measuring the environmental variables along with the detections of the sharks, we were able to find different habitat associations that we wouldn't have normally been able to find. So we found that the sand tigers, while they were migrating south along the Delmarva Peninsula in the fall, were significantly associated with lower salinity waters, and these waters were likely associated with the Delaware Bay freshwater plume, which has been documented to exit the mouth of the bay and then flow south along the coast. And in addition, the sharks were related to higher levels of color dissolved organic matter, which is really just this dissolved plant and animal material that kind of is the stuff that makes the coastal waters a little bit yellowish and makes the water a little bit dirty. And so those waters are often associated with areas of higher biological productivity. So that could be important for sharks that are, say, looking for food, or could be using that as an olfactory cue, because sharks, like many people have heard, have really well-developed senses of smell. So maybe they were smelling this different water. And then in addition, the sharks were mainly found in areas closer to shore. So they could be using their proximity to the coastline as a navigational aid as they're migrating south along our coasts.
And what's next for your research?
So next, I am working to kind of take what I learned about the underwater habitat preferences and scale that up and develop a real-time probability map of where sharks are likely to be in our area based on some of the habitat preferences that we found in this study. And so using satellite remote sensing layers and the detections that we've gotten from sharks over the last few years, I would like to scale that up and create a predictive habitat model for where these sharks are likely to be in our area so that we can help reduce their influence of bycatch on their species. So if a fisherman is going out and say they want to avoid catching sand tigers so that they can help the sand tiger population recover, they can look at this map almost like a weather forecast and say, well, sand tigers are likely to be here on today because of the conditions, and so maybe if I fish a little bit in a different area, then I will be less likely to encounter sand tigers, and then hopefully we can help their populations recover.